Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw Mad Chat. It's the best debate wrestling show right here, youtube.com/Steven Larson. And it's fueled by you lovely $20 and up a month patrons at patreon.com/Steven Larson. Yes, that's right. For $20 a month, you too can be donated. That's permanent. You too can have your question read and seen in video form here on Matt Chat. And then me and Larson, we will debate it.
Give me a new computer. We're also on, you mentioned Patreon. I was seething in anger. I wasn't paying attention to you.
You got over it pretty quick.
Did I?
Where else are we?
Patreon, right?
Yeah, I already said that.
All right, we're ProWrestlingTees, ProWrestlingTees.com/goinginraw. Bunch of designs, more to come coming up soon. I have this
Our
shirt.
Odd Future shirt.
That's not ours. This is, in fact, is ours. You can get it yourself at our shop.
Get it yourself. That's going to be our motto for that shop. ProWrestlingTees.com/goinginraw. Get it yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Anyways, it'll come off.
Stop. Stop messing with my computer. Oh, my God. Oh, I swear.
I just literally touched it that time. Anyways, we got a bunch of great questions from you lovely patrons out there today for public consumption. And if we remember to do it this week, we're going to utilize the new YouTube poll feature.
Yeah, it's a huge if.
Where we can, if we remember, where you guys get to vote on who won each of these debates. Spoiler alert.
Larson did.
Let's find out. First up, we've got a question from Christian. At last, you have a question. Let's see what he has to say.
Hey, friendos. It's the Hall of Famer Chris here with another Matt Chat question for you guys today. Wishing you a happy Rusev Day at the gym here. And I wanted to talk to you guys about Johnny Gargano and what the best move for him going forward after his NXT stay is over. Now, he can go to 205 Live and elevate that show even higher than Triple H already has. Or he can go to the main roster and take an underdog, you know, Daniel Bryan type role in that part of the company. What do you think is best? And I believe this is the first Mad Chat in Office Space. So congrats on that. If it's not, then I'll be doing this again. It's kind of awkward. Too sweet for a handshake. Have a good one.
Thank you, Christian.
Thank you, Christian. 205 Live, man. Send Johnny Gargano 205 Live. Look, did you see Drake Maverick, a.k.a. Rockstar Spud, give you his vision for 205 Live this past week? It was passionate. It was all about wrestling. Triple H is in charge now. It's all about competition. And they're really, look, here's the thing. This new attitude for 205 Live, it's sink or swim. They're either going to get what they want accomplished through this new way of doing 205 Live, which, by the way, I said is how they should have approached 205 Live from the beginning. You don't need any of these stupid characters and stuff. It's all about the competition. It's all about the wrestling. Johnny Gargano's name is literally Johnny Wrestling, a.k.a. Juani Luchador.
It's his nickname. It's not literally his name.
It's actually on his birth certificate. Gargano. Didn't know this, did you? Gargano's his nickname. He is the best in terms of wrestling. Put him on 205 Live. It'll only help accomplish its goal, get all sorts of great, amazing wrestling matches. And then, hey, you know what? If that still doesn't work, if that still doesn't accomplish what they want for 205 Live, it's not going to matter. They're going to cancel the show, and the best talents, including Gargano, will end up on Main anyways. And he can do the Daniel Bryan thing that Christian said he should do. So, yes, absolutely. That wasn't a fart. That was my hand going under my butt because my hands are freezing right now.
Yeah, it's a little cold.
In a nice warm area, warm, moist areas under my butt.
You.
Anyways. Yeah, Gargano, put him on 205 Live. There's nothing to lose. Go ahead.
No, put him on Main right now. Christian brought up the Daniel Bryan underdog type storyline, which would be a great fit for Johnny. Yeah, he's under 205 pounds, but know who else is? Finn Balor. And he's a main eventer. Johnny, too, could be main eventer. Johnny is probably, at worst, the second best wrestler in entire WWE. He might be neck and neck with AJ Styles.
Yep.
Think of all the dream matches you can have with Johnny wrestling on the main roster. Seth Rollins, the aforementioned AJ Styles, Finn Balor. I can go on and on. If the only thing keeping him from going to main is his size, there's plenty of wrestlers, or a few wrestlers now, on the main roster who are either just as large, if not smaller. Finn is billed at 5'11", 190, I think. Johnny, 5'10", 199. He is, according to the weight set WWE puts out there, 9 pounds heavier than Finn Balor. And then if that's the case, why is Finn on main and Johnny on 205 Live? Doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Johnny, I think Triple H recently said he's like the best face either in NXT or like ever in NXT. I think just now.
That's interesting.
Because he plays that underdog role so well and he's such a phenomenal wrestler. That can translate in the main roster very easily. He's that good. He is the best. He's one of the best wrestlers in the entire company. And yeah, he'll put on spectacular matches in 205 Live, and if he goes there, he'll do his part to help the show succeed. He'll be a huge part of that. But I don't know. I feel like with the momentum he has coming out of NXT now, with his ability in a really short span of time, built himself into the top face in NXT, taking that momentum up to main with Tommaso Ciampa, setting that feud off, the second stage of it, on the main roster. You've seen Ciampa lately? He is jacked.
Huge.
He is jacked.
Yeah.
He's going to go to main probably. Let them continue on this feud for years to come on the main roster. I think it'd be great.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I'm kind of with you on this one. But, you know, still a lot of good dream matches there on 205 Live even.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They just need.
I wouldn't be upset if you went to 205 Live.
They need a better venue, man. Next.
I'm going to see. Wait, hold on. I'm going to see what Tommaso Ciampa's billed at. 201. But he
but looks, he's 6'1".
Yeah, it looks like he put on like 15 pounds more muscle, though.
Yeah, no kidding.
He is massive.
And another thing to say about Johnny Gargano, I know if we're doing these YouTube poll things, I'm totally conceding your point. But when Gargano was in there against the larger opponents during that Fatal 4-Way to determine number one contender, he totally fit in.
Yep.
It wasn't weird.
And I think it's because of the style of his wrestling. It works.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not like his size and tries to be a powerhouse or something like that. He's a technical wrestler that can throw in some dazzling kind of, I don't want to say high flying moves, but you know what I mean? Acrobatic athletic stuff as well. Yeah.
The only question to me, so like drawing a Daniel Bryan comparison is a bit on the unfair side because Daniel Bryan, in my opinion, was such a singular character.
Yeah, yeah, no, I agree with that.
Personality wise, Daniel Bryan is, it's so easy to see why he's loved so hardcore. Johnny Gargano is one of the most likable guys on the roster. But Daniel Bryan, his charisma was so. It's difficult to compare Daniel Bryan with anybody else charisma wise because my God, it just shone through.
Yeah.
It really did.
Yeah.
Gargano, I'm not really sure he's at that level, but I think he could be a similar kind of story. I think I'd love to see.
Here's another argument in your favor: send Johnny to 205 Live, so he's not on the road 250 days a year and separated from his wife, who just signed with the company.
Yeah, that's true.
So if he's just working 205 Live. I mean, lately they haven't been working Raw, so he has to work Tuesday SmackDown tapings and then an occasional house show. But if he's champ, I could think he's out on the road more often if he were to be Cruiserweight champ.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
Because that's when I kind of feel bad for Candace. Like, she signs, and then if he gets called up to Maine, like, they don't get to spend any time together in NXT, really.
Hey, you know what? I still kind of feel that's a big if right now.
Oh, it is. I don't think he's going to Maine right away. I still feel like there's going to be some sort of unsanctioned match between him and Ciampa in the next takeover.
I think he'll like fight his way back into a contract of some sort.
Maybe.
I mean, I think it might be. Here's how it could go with Gargano, and this should be on an NXT recap, but whatever. He starts terrorizing Ciampa while Ciampa's trying to make a name for himself since his return.
Yeah, yeah.
And Ciampa finally gets to the point where he's like, you know, I want to kill this guy. I want to match with him. Well, Ciampa, I'm sorry. He's no longer part of NXT. Well, then make him part of NXT.
Hold harmless agreement.
Well, no. Sign him to the roster so I can fight him.
Oh, even just for one match?
No, for the, you know, so Gargano's back in NXT.
All right.
Next.
He can just, you know, get like a day rate.
He could sign an impact agreement.
There you go.
There's the bot has a question. I really like this question because I'm kind of torn on it. Let's see what he has to say.
Hey guys, I'm back with another video question, and this one's about Ronda Rousey. She's officially a member of the WWE now, and the way I see it, there's really only two routes she could go. She could either go in the Kurt Angle route and become a fully formed professional wrestler, character-wise, in the ring, be able to do multiple things and hang with just about anybody. Or she could go the Brock Lesnar route, where he is now anyway, where he does a limited amount of moves, but he does them very well, and he brings that sense of legitimacy to his matches. And you could pair her up with Paula Heyman, and she could do that. So my question is, which one would you rather see her go in? Would you rather see her go the Kurt Angle route, where she becomes a fully formed character and she becomes a professional wrestler? Or would you rather see her go the Brock Lesnar route and pair her up with Paul Heyman and make her feel like that UFC fighter truly? Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Therathabata.
Thank you, Therathabata.
What a great question. I could see this both ways. I could see either one having some validity to it. What do you think, though?
What do I think?
Yeah. Ronda Rousey. Should she be another Brock, or should she be more of like a... There's a difference between like the part-timer Brock comes in, just does his thing, he's Brock.
Whereas, well, also, I think it's more than what he's asking is more than just that. It's how they're booked in from a creative standpoint. Like Kurt Angle, he came in and as a wrestler, he acclimated himself not just to the road schedule, but to the style of wrestling. He became a professional wrestler that utilized a bit of an amateur wrestling holds, but for the most part, he was a professional wrestler. Whereas Brock, since he returned from UFC, his style has been far more focused. I guess you could say, apart from the bevy of German suplexes, set that aside.
On walking around and smiling,
MMA styled approach. Like he came back, he started doing the Kimura lock, which I don't think he ever did before.
Okay, well, let's take another comparison here. Ken Shamrock.
Okay, Ken Shamrock, I'd say, is more along with Kurt Angle.
Okay, sure, yeah.
Because he acclimated himself as a professional wrestler more so than as a pure MMA thing.
So what would you rather see?
Well, since you're taking one side, I take the other side. So I'll say something kind of like Lesnar. Now, Thayer pitched the idea of putting Heyman with her. I don't want to do that. I honestly don't want to do that.
That's the one thing I actually kind of like.
No, I don't want to do that.
Okay.
Because if Brock leaves, I don't know if Heyman's going to stick around, first and foremost. But anyways, I here's what I kind of feel like. How there's other wrestlers in WWE now, in NXT, on the main roster, who have MMA experience. Sonya Deville, you have Shayna Baszler, who have merged pro wrestling moves with MMA background. And I think Rousey can do the same. I think she can have her pro wrestling style be informed by her MMA background. Of course, her finisher is going to be the cross arm breaker, the arm bar. She can do some judo throws in the ring for sure. And I think if you focus on that she is a fighter coming into the pro wrestling world and adapting her fighting style to that world, that's the story to be told. And there is a good amalgam that can be had there that can be exciting. I mean, we've seen it we've seen the bits of it with Sonya Deville. We've seen it with Shayna Baszler. And the difference with Rousey is that she's this huge mainstream star. But I don't want Heyman with her. I don't, she's going to wrestle kind of a part-time schedule. I'm guessing she might be around more than Lesnar. Maybe not. I don't know. But
I think she's going to be.
I kind of feel like that's the case.
She's going to be around, yeah.
But base her style on her fighting skills. Character-wise, I mean, we've been hearing that they're setting up the dynamic now, so Rousey could kind of be the Stone Cold, the Stephanie's Mr. McMahon. I don't know how well that's going to work. I mean, this first week on Raw was pretty good. It was fun. Give us more time to play out, but in terms of like character stuff, I don't like. I want Rousey to establish herself as her own character, her own performer. I don't want her necessarily to be reliant on, like, you put Heyman with her, people can think, oh, this is like Lesnar all over again. And I don't want that. I want her to establish herself, be her own thing. That's in my mind what I would like to see.
All right. I mean, what you just said is pretty much my take on it too.
Oh, okay.
You said that you don't really want any Lesnar comparisons there.
Well, I mean, like
the one
Lesnar comparison would be the MMA fighting approach informing her wrestling.
Yeah,
work.
No, look, she's her armbar. You're right. The armbar is going to be her finisher.
Yeah.
She's going to apply it in cool ways. Are we going to see her run the ropes? Yeah. We've seen footage that came out on Twitter, and then they've shown some stuff of her running ropes, of her selling, of her taking moves. So far, I think she's great. I think one thing about, so I'll draw this comparison kind of, and it's a wildly optimistic one. How far along did Charlotte come in such a short period of time? She's been
wrestling for 5 years or something like that.
And she was a ringer off the bat. And I would never place those expectations on anybody else. But
well, the same thing with Kurt Angle. I mean, maybe people said no one has picked up pro wrestling as fast as he did.
Right, exactly. And I would love to think that Ronda Rousey's heart is so into it that she could pick up. I mean, she's been a fan for a very long time. It seems she's been chomping at the bit. We all know that this stuff takes time, and to be thrust in the spotlight immediately, they're going to want to hide her weaknesses. And the indie circuit is where you show your weaknesses to everybody to get rid of them. That being said, I think that it would be great for her to reach for the stars. And if you fall flat a couple times, that's fine. That's when you put her on the house show circuit. You know, I mean,
if it's what
she wants, if they keep on, hammering home the fact that we have her, she's here. I don't think she's going to have a Brock Lesnar schedule. I think we're going to see her at every pay-per-view at least.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And probably most of the Raws.
Yeah. I would think minimum 100 dates a year.
Yeah. And so if you're going to do that, aim for Kurt Angle. Mm-hmm. Aim for those comparisons. I think that'd be fantastic. I think that's the way to go. Otherwise, people are going to get bored. Here's the thing. If you show people that you're really busting your ass, you don't have to be great. Mm-hmm. They'll respect the crap out of you because everybody knows this is not easy to
do.
Yeah. So, no, we're on the same page. I'm not sure where I stand on the Heyman thing simply because We've seen her twice on the mic, really, kind of.
Yeah.
And so far, I think she beat expectations, which were wildly low. For me, she went out there and she didn't stumble over her words, which we've seen other people come up through the indie ranks and stumble over their words, you know, once they get in the ring.
Yeah.
So you have to think for somebody who did make a career in front of large audiences fighting for reels, That person is going to have, it's kind of like the inverse of CM Punk. We felt the one thing that he wouldn't have really coming to the UFC
butterflies.
Octagon is butterflies, because he knows what it's like to be under pressure to perform in front of a large crowd.
Yeah.
And that's a thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know, with Rousey, I think go for the whole enchilada. Kurt Angle's a great goal to have in terms of reaching for the stars. For
and I think if you're talking overall legacy in terms of the wrestling business, you know, granted we need some history yet to unfold before we can really make this comparison, because Lesnar, at least up until Mania, is still an active competitor in WWE, whereas Kurt not so much. And Kurt, you know, he's been wrestling professionally since 2000. Mm-hmm. And Brock, you know, there was a huge gap in between his two tenures at WWE. I just kind of feel like my gut tells me that when we look back on the aughts from 2000 to maybe 2020, the skip ahead to 2030, and we look at that era of wrestling, those 20 years, Kurt Angle is going to make such a much larger impact, I think, in terms of a lot of various facets in the industry than Brock Lesnar did. We can get to that more in our next question from Patrick Sparks. Mm-hmm. I know Lesnar seems like a huge deal now, but in 5 years, if he leaves after Mania and does never come back, you know, like, what? I don't know what kind of impact what kind of legacy he really leaves behind.
We'll talk about that in the next question. I would say that my final word on Rousey is this. I would hope that Triple H or somebody would have looked at her and said, Rhonda, at the end of the day, what do you want to aspire to? Would you rather have a Brock Lesnar career, or would you rather have a Ric Flair career? Which one would you rather have? And I would love to think that she would say Ric Flair.
Yeah.
Because that's the career anybody wants.
Yeah.
Career, not family.
Yes. We look at the accomplishments. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The impact on the industry. Yeah.
Agreed. And what they can do in the ring.
Yeah.
You know, I would think that's what she'd want to be remembered by. Not the guy who like sort of walks around the ring and smiles a bunch and then drops a bunch of people on their heads.
And then turns purple.
You'd want to be the guy who's putting on 5-star matches.
And that's why I bring up.
That's who you'd want to be.
If you look back at legacy, I think Kurt Angle's legacy is going to seem a lot stronger than Brock is when we look back on it.
All right, well, let's talk about that. Patrick Sparks has a question about all that. Let's see what he has to say.
Hey, friendos, Pat here. So, I got a debate for you. It links to last week's topic of whether or not Brock is best for business or not. I believe he is at times. I believe he's not at times, but it's a different debate, obviously. But my debate for you today is, I was listening to Joe Rogan talk about if Brock had have taken his amateur wrestling skills and put them to the full max and taken MMA training as soon as he got out of college, basically, and didn't go to the WWE or test around with that or anything, he could have been a huge star, and the amount of power and amateur skill that he had would have been basically dominance forever. Not forever, but you get what I'm saying. So, what do you think the WWE would look like today if Brock Lesnar never stepped foot in a WWE ring? Do you think that would be best for business? Or do you think that Brock has had a big enough impact on the business that it would change it all completely? Thanks, friendos. Bye.
Thank you, Patrick Sparks.
Patrick Sparks, I'm sad that you don't have a cove of bees next to you.
Hive.
A hive of bees.
Hive.
What's a cove? Isn't it? What is a cove?
Isn't it like
a, is that actually a word?
Yeah, it is. It but is. It's like a, you know, like the cove, and there's like fish and stuff there.
Okay, cool. Bees don't hang out in the water. They're not water-based animals.
Don't believe so.
Okay, just making sure. Anyways, Patrick, get back to the bees. Oh, man. So what would WWE look like today if there was no Brock Lesnar? You seem to think that legacy wouldn't exactly, it's not exactly going to be in a strong suit, huh?
No. I mean, I think much like the previous question, we're going to give take different approach and get the same answer. Because I think there would be some differences, but long term, I don't think it would. If he'd never stepped foot in WWE ring, I don't think it would. Like his first run from, what, 2002, 2004, it was impactful.
Yeah.
But had he not returned in, what, 2012, you know, I he would have been looked at as like a huge kind of missed opportunity in the wrestling business. Guy who had all the tools, pretty
right,
much.
Right,
you know?
Right, right,
right. He's put on great matches. He was involved in some great feuds. Made a massive impact upon his debut. But then he got burnt out and left. Tried to play football, wrestled in Japan some, got in the UFC, was successful, had diverticulitis, came back, not successful, came back to WWE. I mean, like his most current run, the last 5-6 years, whether it's hard not to have the lasting impression of him as the guy who signed the massive contract, who more often than not just cruises by doing the bare minimum of what he has to do, putting forth enough effort to keep things moderately interesting when he has to. Otherwise, there's nothing real. I know we hear he's a draw and he improves attendance and TV ratings, but he doesn't really add anything to the product.
Let me ask you something. Do you think, step outside yourself for a second. Is that a cynical point of view based on the fact that we cover this for our jobs?
I wouldn't necessarily say it's cynical. I mean, because I think we understand that there's not just one facet to the wrestling business. It's not just all about who is the best performer in the ring. There's drawing power. There's a lot of different aspects to come in, that come into play when determining who's going to be champ. And it's been that way throughout history. I mean, if in-ring performance was all that mattered, Hogan never would have amounted to anything. You know, but he had, for the 80s at least, that thing that drew people to the product. I know Brock is a huge crossover name. I know he does have some charisma, but I don't. Maybe it's just my. I don't think it's a cynical thing. Maybe it's just my perspective as a wrestling fan. What I appreciate about performers isn't necessarily what Brock is. Like I appreciate, he might draw viewers, he might increase ratings, he might increase attendance. But in terms of what he does in the ring, there's like a name dozens of people that do it better than he probably ever did
on the roster right now.
Yeah, on the roster right now, and that by that token, for me personally, he's not a draw. I'm not going to tune in just to see Brock stand there doing this while Heyman is talking. Maybe some people will.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm on the same page with you personally. When it comes at the end of the day, let's say we're in 2030, like you said earlier. When it comes to the end of the we're in 2030 and we look back, it's hard not to put him on the list of when you just, and define this how you will, who were the most dominant characters of their time. Brock has to be at the top of the list.
Oh, this time or any time?
Of their time.
Oh.
Right? So okay. Like Bruno was the most dominant guy.
Yeah, Flair during his time. Hogan during his time. Yeah, no, I understand that.
Brock is the most dominant guy of his time. He's the mountain that everybody's climbing right now. And that's kind of, it is kind of a unique space that his character occupies amongst generations.
I'll add this though. If we're comparing him to the others you just named, his time on top is far shorter than all the others. the last 5 years, he's been the most dominant performer in WWE. You can't really argue that. Bruno was on top for how many years? 15? Hogan was about 10. Flair for the better part of 15 years.
Okay, hold on a second. Hogan, what's the window that Hogan was?
I'm saying from 84 to when he left WWE. 93. That's about 9 years.
Okay, all right. 84, I don't know. I think with Hogan, 84 to 89, 90, after that it was him politicking. Because at that point, organically, the Ultimate Warrior had taken his spot, and then Hogan just sort of snatched it back because Warrior ended up being sort of, you know, fake news or whatever you want to call it. Big nothing burger.
And you also got to, and no, Cena was never as dominant as...
What about Austin during his time?
Yeah, but he...
How long was that?
That was from 90... When he was on top, from 97 to...
2001?
Yeah.
Not a long time.
Yeah.
I see your point, and I agree with you from a personal standpoint. However, if you take him out of the equation... I think it's a pretty big name you're taking out of the equation. I do. I mean, okay, so how would the WWE be different? Here's the thing. Here's one thing. I don't think the WWE would be that different if he was gone.
If he was never there, yeah.
If he was never there, simply because ever since his return, let's just take this spot here, his return, because I agree with you, if he had only stayed for that first run 2 years, he would have been thought of maybe in the same vein as like Bobby Lashley, let's say. A guy, big dominant guy who was here for kind of a short period of time, then he left to go do MMA. He'd have been kind of a curiosity and, yeah, lost potential. But since his return, the way they've booked him has kind of defined his era. Like the Undertaker streak was given to Brock.
Mm-hmm. Well, so Roman could take it.
Well, no, I was given to Brock before Roman was a thing.
No, they were.
I don't think the plan. I don't think the initial thought was let's have Brock beat the streak so that we can have Roman. Oh, take
I guarantee
it off.
You it was.
Oh, I don't. I don't think
oh
that's
yeah.
The case.
Oh yeah.
What year was that?
That was 30. When that happened, the next year was Roman Brock Mania main event for the title. That's when the Seth cast.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't think that was. I don't think they were connecting the dots at all.
We
can go back and do some research. We have to see where Roman was at 30.
He was still with the Shield?
What did he do at 30?
No, that was the Shield had already broken up.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if once they were putting Roman on the path, they were like,
"Oh, okay, no, the Shield was still together." I think on 30. At 30, they had that. They had a match against was it the Outlaws and Kane?
Let's see here.
Mm-hmm. It was against the Outlaws and Kane, I believe.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that was that was less than a 3-minute match.
Well, okay, I'll put it this way. I don't think the end game for Brock beating the Taker streak was simply for Brock to beat the Taker streak. I think it was a set of Brock as this top monster guy for someone to conquer.
Yeah, I can agree with that, but I think that at the time it was, well, we have this streak. What can we give Brock to build him up into a monster to make even more of a draw? And then, yeah, dude, there's always... The idea is always in wrestling to who's going to topple the big guy and make him even bigger. So, I mean, I agree with you in that respect. I don't think it was they knew immediately, oh, this Roman guy, he's going to be, that was the plan. It was just, okay. Anyways. What were we talking about? Oh, Brock. Yeah, I don't know. That was going to be my point. Would the WWE be much different? I don't think so, simply because they have kept Brock separate from like everything else. It's not like he's enmeshed in story. He's always like the final boss, but like he's around.
He's
so
not
rare.
So entwined in the day to day stuff.
He's not at all.
You could take him out and you wouldn't.
And nothing changes.
Yeah.
Nothing really changes.
No.
If Brock broke his leg tomorrow or something and couldn't do Mania, or if he continues this hardline negotiation that everybody's talking about, it's probably a big work. If he keeps doing that and says, I'm not going to go to WrestleMania, that's never going to happen. But if something happened to Brock, it'd be Roman Braun.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be Roman Braun. Mm-hmm. And
I mean, they're setting up Braun to be the next Brock as is. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I mean, the fact that – so you take Hogan out of the equation back in the mid-90s or in the mid-80s, and everything's weird. Everything's like, who would fill that big vacuum?
Oh, I know.
But with Brock, you take him out of the – and everything kind of stays the same except for like – That thing over there that everybody, like, once I get through all this stuff here, which is where the action's happening, then I go do Brock.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah. It's like, he's such a part-timer that if you take him out of the equation, nothing really changes.
No.
That being said, I think his legacy does loom pretty large.
Yeah. But I think another aspect of his career is and not to say this hasn't happened before, but I think it seems more prevalent now, is the role of part-timer as champion.
Oh, it's so cynical. So bad. It's to me, it's one of the most negative things about his run is that this idea that this guy who doesn't really seem to give a shit about the business.
And makes more than anybody else.
Makes more than anybody else, gloats about the fact that he doesn't have to be there at all, basically.
And carries the top prize in the entire company.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And that kind of attitude is encouraged or is just, they feed it
condoned.
Even more. It's condoned.
Yes.
Exactly.
But we'll see how much Morris condone when his next contract negotiation takes place.
Yeah, I'm with you. I really don't want him back. I don't find it interesting. I don't find him interesting anymore.
No.
Next up from Doug Dozier Jr. Let's see what he has to say.
Hello, Steven Larson and Friendo Universe. It's the anti-people's champion, Douglas T. Dozier Jr. And with all the love for Black Panther during Black History Month, I personally have loved the character of Eric Killmonger, best villain in Marvel history so far. I would like for you to power rank the top 5 Black heels in WWE history. Thanks and peace.
Thank you, Douglas Dozier Jr.
Thank you very much. There's a wealth of
African-American
wrestlers to choose from. We have a couple names here that we cobbled together while eating our veggie burritos to celebrate the end of Black History Month. Of course, it just ended a couple days ago. Who's number one on your list? We have a list here. Who's number one on your list?
Let's put Ernie Ladd number one.
Okay.
Seems he was a breaker of barriers.
He was the first major African American heel in the 70s. He started out as a fan favorite, then became a massive heel. So Ernie Ladd's up there. Personal favorite of mine is, and we've talked about him endlessly on the show, Booker T.
Yeah,
as King Booker, he also had some heel reigns or some heel stuff. I don't know what he called himself, but he did like an African accent
In TNA.
TNA. It's fantastic. It's hilarious. King Booker is one of my all-time favorites. Booker T is like one of my top guys, regardless of race.
Yeah. Booker T is awesome.
Mark Henry's up there.
Yeah.
Mark Henry, I'll never forget the retirement speech.
Oh, gosh, man. The Hall of Pain, the prime heel Mark Henry is outstanding.
The fact that they never really utilized him to his fullest potential is always a big bummer because the amount of, what do you call it when an actor can stretch?
Improvise?
No. Well, the
an actor can stretch.
You know, he's got a wide
range.
His range.
Oh yeah. Thank you. He can do comedy well. He can do dramatic.
Wide range.
Yeah.
That he can pull off.
We got to talk about the Nation of Domination.
That's great.
Great
man.
Stuff.
Yeah, great stuff. Farouk.
Yes.
Great stuff. And of course, The Rock.
More recently, the New Day, heel New Day,
mm-hmm.
were outstanding.
They were great. They were so great that they had to be faces.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Sasha Banks.
Yeah.
Who might be heelish again.
Maybe. But her heel work in NXT was outstanding.
Yeah. All good names. Good job, you and me. Next up, Vincent Palmieri he's there. He's live right now. Let's go to Vincent.
Hey, friendos. We're here live in Las Vegas at Elimination Chamber. We just watched Roman Reigns win, which sucks. So the question for you guys is, what's your biggest disappointment in wrestling? Like the biggest disappointment for a match. This is my brother, by the way. Debate that. Roman Reigns sucks.
Thank you, Vincent.
Thank you, Vincent.
Wow, he's live right now.
He seems really upset about something.
No fan of that Roman Reigns.
Yeah, man.
All right, well, I'm going to tell you my biggest wrestling disappointment.
Do it.
Was CM Punk leaving. It boggles my mind and I know Triple H just doesn't like CM Punk. It's kind of obvious.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's kind of obvious. That being said, it boggles my mind that a guy can put everything he has into every match he puts on. He puts it all out there. He kills himself, kills his body. And the WWE doesn't say, hey, man, take some time off, get yourself together.
Well, they don't hardly ever say that to anybody.
They don't say that to anybody. It boggles my mind. It absolutely boggles my mind. Hey, just take some time off. We understand your value. We want you to be happy. Come back. Because CM Punk, To this day, they still chant his name.
Yep.
He was such a great figure, and we only saw him at the top of his game. Well, I really consider the top of his game from the pipe bomb on until he left.
Yeah.
And they never, like, not putting him in that match with Rock and Cena for that second match of theirs was a big mistake. And then the fact that we find out that when he left, I thought that he just was done.
Walked out and quit.
He walked out and quit. And he was like, no, I just left because I was burnt out. And then I find out on my wedding day that I got fired. So there was all that time between him leaving and then him getting married and getting fired that, like, he was, there was still an opportunity for him to come back.
Yeah, his expectation was that he would return at some point.
Yes. That was his expectation, that he was going to come back. And oh my God, it's so terrible that never got resolved. It's horrible.
And now he's being sued.
So it's probably never going to happen.
Yeah.
So that to me, because he was absolutely my favorite in terms of wrestlers that I really just, I don't know, like the wrestlers that you really connect with. It's like, oh man, that guy's so cool. He was that guy for me.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways,
I'm going to say jokingly, not getting floor seats for a strong style of all, but I'm just joking.
Yeah, because I might not go.
Yeah, it seems
I might not
you
go.
You seem much more disappointed about that than I was.
I might not go.
For me, again, this is a recent thing. Yeah. It was the whole culmination, the conclusion of the Bray Wyatt Randy Orton saga. Their match at WrestleMania.
Oh, look at this, baby Orton.
Someday I want to go back and make a compilation of our analysis of that whole storyline, because there was a point in time where we were so hopeful.
We were like,
Bray's finally going to get his moment. He's going to get that title. Something interesting. There's the elements are there for something really interesting to happen in the storyline, even if Bray has to drop the belt.
Yep.
But in the back of our minds, I think we both knew.
Oh, we both knew.
That the end result would be boring.
Because every SmackDown recap.
Face Randy Orton winning that title.
Every SmackDown recap we did, we would always qualify it with saying, they're probably going to do the worst thing,
mm-hmm.
which is boring face Orton standing tall.
Orton champion.
Mm-hmm.
Orton didn't turn heel, formed the Orton family. None of that happened. Instead, we got Bray Wyatt somehow being imbued with the powers of Satan himself, taking on boring face Randy Orton at Mania. And how did Bray Wyatt's satanic powers manifest themselves? By projecting images of flies and worms and crap on the ring. That's the extent of it. Take those images out and you have a boring Randy Orton match.
Mm-hmm.
The images added nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing to the story. Nothing to the drama.
Like, Randy wouldn't have known what was going on. It would have just been like weird, like, because you're so close to
it. Yeah. You just see this, like, it's dark and there's stuff projected. It's moving. Okay, it's done. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, how's that supposed to mess with his head?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's what commentary is saying. It's like, oh, Bray's playing mind games. Dude has the powers of Satan. Shoot fire at him or something,
I know.
Start hurling pitchforks.
Yeah.
If you got Satan powers, and like, manifest them somehow.
Do something,
just don't make buds with the guy in the AV department.
Yeah.
Gosh, it was maddening.
It was terrible.
It was awful.
It was horrible, man.
That was my greatest disappointment, because it was not only the fulfillment of our worst fears about the storyline,
mm-hmm.
it was put to us in a package that was pure garbage.
Can I throw this one out there too?
What?
Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, him having to retire.
And on top of that, when he did come back at the Rumble that time and they had Roman Reigns win instead, ooh, I was right there with the entire crowd. Boo. Oh, I'm sorry. No, when Mysterio came out at 30, everybody thought it was going to be Daniel Bryan. Boo. I was right there booing the crap out of that. And I like Mysterio. I think he's fine.
No, that was the year. That was the year that Batista won. Was when Mysterio came out, because Daniel Bryan the following year did go in the Rumble.
Batista won. That's right. Batista won that year.
Bryan
the following year.
But Bryan did come out like halfway through and got eliminated really quickly.
That's right. Yeah. Well, that's bad. Bad.
Yep. Yeah. That's a good answer too.
Next up, we got a great question from a good friend of the cat, Daryl Takahashi. Let's see what he has to say.
What's good, Steve Larson, many friendos. It's cat Daryl Takahashi. My question for Matt Chat this week is simple. If you were an indie wrestler, what would you view as a bigger accomplishment? Winning the G1 Climax for New Japan or winning the main event of WrestleMania? Thanks, boys.
Thank you, the cat.
Thank you.
I mean, it's Mania. You end the show winning the main event at the largest wrestling event every year. How is that not the tops? That's what, you know, like if you want to play baseball, you think, oh, I want to hit the home run that wins game 7 of the World Series. You play football. You want to score the winning touchdown in the Super Bowl. If you're a wrestler, you want to close a WrestleMania holding that title belt. I mean, if you're a kid dreaming of doing anything in athletics, part of that dream is getting at the largest stage possible and winning. So I would think, don't take anything from the G1. G1's great. G1 just gives you an opportunity to main event Tokyo Dome, which I love New Japan Pro Wrestling. I love Wrestle Kingdom. WrestleMania is the largest wrestling event in the world every year. You know, it is. It's the largest stage, largest audience, gets the most mainstream attention. I don't necessarily consider it winning the championship at WrestleMania to be the greatest moment in any wrestler's career. I think that's up to the individual wrestlers themselves. But if you're a kid dreaming of being a wrestler and you don't dream of winning WrestleMania at one point, winning the title at WrestleMania at one point, I would be very surprised. It's winning Mania. It's being the main event of Mania, winning that belt.
Let me counter by saying this.
What?
When I was a kid, like 1988, 89,
uh-huh.
Mania was great. All I dreamt about was the G1 climax.
You didn't know the G1 was.
I didn't know what it was 2 years ago. All right, I'm gonna propose this. Your answer is pretty much the obvious. If you're a kid dreaming about being a wrestler, if you're in the indie ranks, you will never get a bigger career moment than winning in the main event of WrestleMania. Career-wise, yes, absolutely. However, I would suggest this. The best wrestling in the world is in New Japan.
Mm-hmm.
We have come to understand that the G1 climax is where the wrestlers decide, or that has the tradition of, we're going to put out our best matches during this tournament.
The most rigorous tournament in all of wrestling.
What I've also heard is that all the wrestlers in the tournament and in the company, or whatever, watch that.
Yeah.
I would suggest that if you're winning the G1, granted it's you know, Gato and whoever else is doing the booking, if you're winning the G1 tournament, if you're the guy who they have deemed, this guy's putting on the best matches, so we're going to have him win, getting to that point, putting on the best matches, if that's what you've done, and getting the adulation from your peers, probably nothing to sneeze at.
No, it's not.
Probably nothing to sneeze at. So I would say there is a different level of satisfaction, and maybe even professionally speaking, a greater level of satisfaction getting the adulation from your peers, from the other best wrestlers in the world, rather than, hey, Vince, we good? No. Or yes.
Yeah, if you're main event in Mania, you're getting the yes to that question.
And I'm just saying.
You said, yeah, win the G1 is nothing to sneeze at, and your rationale is perfectly sound. And you know, just because I chose Mania doesn't mean I'm going to disparage in any way the G1 as a tournament, because, like I said, it's the most rigorous,
mm-hmm.
grueling tournament in all of wrestling, and I love every second watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that the winner of that gets the main event, Tokyo Dome, that's probably the second largest wrestling show in the world during the entire year, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely nothing to sneeze at. You know, I just keep going back. When I was a kid throwing baseballs around or hitting balls, I was like, man, here it is. Like bottom of the ninth, two out, 2-2, World Series.
Mm-hmm.
Smack! It's gone.
Yeah.
Circle the bases, cheering. Yay, yay.
Touchdown.
Yeah. Not wrong sport, but yeah. You know, in wrestling, it's WrestleMania. That's that stage. That's that moment.
Yeah. But things have changed, man.
I know. We talked about it before. We're talking about whether wrestlers should focus on being independent wrestlers, go to WWE.
Oh, yeah.
It all depends what aligns with your own personal ambitions. Mm-hmm. If you're in it, primarily or strictly for the craft of wrestling, like, I'm sure Daniel Bryan enjoyed main eventing WrestleMania. But what do you think, if he'd been in that main event and put on a crap match, yet still won the title, do you think he would have considered it a disappointment still?
If you put on a crap match, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because I think for him, it's the art of the storytelling of wrestling is paramount to accomplish.
And I would think, I would also suggest this, a guy like Daniel Bryan, who obviously has a great love and respect for the craft of wrestling, he's the type who I would probably think would say, you know, in my mind, to me, it was a bigger accomplishment to win the G1 than it was, because he's also a very sort of, and he comes off as a guy who, he's not huge on towing the company line. He understands the ridiculousness of being in the WWE.
Yeah.
How it's all at the whims of Vince McMahon, and it's a very corporate thing, and it's, you know, it's kind of, it still has its carnival aspects to it. whereas the G1 seems like, in New Japan in general, seems to be a bit more, yeah, I mean, it is. It's performance-based, you know, that we get a sense of who the characters are via their performances, mm-hmm, what they mm-hmm, do in the ring, mm-hmm. and we love that about it. It's new and different, or it's to us anyways. Whereas WWE is so cheesy and so, I mean, sometimes arbitrary. Last year it was supposed to be Kevin Owens versus Chris Jericho for the Universal title. And then, hey, Goldberg, this guy who's a million years old, he's going to come in with the Universal title. And Brock Lesnar, the purple guy who's only here 10 minutes a year,
yeah.
he's going to come in. They're going to fight for it.
Yeah.
So I wonder if guys like that who understand and think that aspect of it is so silly, they're like, you know, yeah, it's great to be. I mean, CM Punk really wanted to be in the main event of WrestleMania, and he also comes off as one of those guys, which is kind of an interesting dichotomy.
Well, maybe the putting on the consistently best performances feeds into his idea
I
that
I should be there because I'm doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's like I said, that's up to the wrestler.
Yeah.
AO Worm. Ooh, I love this question.
Yeah.
You knew my answer before I even said
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
AO Worm, let's see what he has to say.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? AO Worm here. Now, let's get to the point. So, WrestleMania is coming on the horizon. And WrestleMania has been many, 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 many places. So, my question is, guys, where would you guys like to see WrestleMania if the WWE decided to send WrestleMania overseas to see how well it would do? And would you guys attend a WrestleMania if it was at an overseas location out of the States? Let me know, guys. Too sweet, hearty handshake. I'm out of here.
Thank you, AO Worm.
London! Send the fucking thing to London, and I will so be there, and you'll be there too. We'll take the wives. It'll be great.
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, I'll fucking go to London all day long. Demonetized.
Is that all you're going to say?
I'm going to say London, or I'm going to say... I mean, that'd be my number one. I also like the idea of... I pitched this to you, to Greece. Where wrestling started?
Well, there's Greco-Roman wrestling, yeah.
Right, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah.
Where did you say it should be? What?
At the old Olympic Stadium in Athens.
Is that like a... like? A,
it's where the... not the
is that one of the ruins are?
No, no, it's not
where... Damn it, I want one with the ruins.
It's right next to it. It's not where the very first Olympics, you know, back in whatever BC happened.
Yes.
But the first modern-day Olympics
no,
happened there.
I want it to be at the ruins.
Well, I can't help you with that. But there is an Olympic Stadium there. I've been there.
I don't think you can help me with the other one either, but...
Okay, but it's there. That's a good choice, but I went with something different. I went with Sydney, Australia.
Crikey!
Wrestling is really blowing up in Australia right now.
Yeah, it is, man.
Will Ospreay just moved out there. He did, because the scene's blowing up.
I know, man. I think it's great.
I believe there's been talk of WWE having a show at the Melbourne Polo Grounds,
okay,
which seats, I think, about 100,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be a trial run
mm-hmm.
for... a pay-per-view, maybe a Mania, to take place in Australia.
I know Australia is like way ahead of us in time-wise.
Yeah.
Sydney. But if it matches up relatively, let's see. It's 9:30 in the morning there. So if WrestleMania kicked off at 4 p.m. here, it would be...
about noon?
It would be... yeah, it would be...
5 o'clock here would be about noon there.
Yeah, that could totally work.
Yeah.
That could totally work.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah, that's another reason. Sydney, that's the answer.
I mean, they'd have to hold it on a Monday.
No, a Saturday there.
They're ahead of us.
Oh, yeah.
They're ahead of us. Yeah. They'd have to put it on Monday.
Yes, yes. For it to be air on Sunday.
Because right now it's 9:40 in the morning Sunday. No. So, yeah. So 5 o'clock at night here would be noon there around.
Yeah.
Around. Yeah, so they'd have to put it on a Monday. People would go.
Yeah.
Next up from Stevie B. Stevie Bradley. Let's see what he has to say.
Hey, what's up, Steven Larson? It's your boy Stevie B here. I got another Matt Chat question for you. On Thursday, I was lucky enough to score some tickets for a luxury box to SmackDown. And it was pretty awesome. All the space I wanted, it was beautiful. But my question for you is, which one would you rather have? Tickets ringside or fully stocked luxury box? Now, Steve, I want to give you the luxury box because I know you are a man of comfort. Comfort is king, and I can respect that. And Larson, why is ringside better? Why is it being right there, hearing the shots called, getting into it? Why is that a better experience? Too sweet. And a hearty handshake.
Thank you, Stevie B. Before we answer this, I got to say that we've been really fortunate that we've got experienced wrestling shows from both these locations.
We have been very fortunate.
And we've been extremely fortunate to have those opportunities. So,
okay.
This is an educated answer from us.
All right. I go first, you go first. I screamed London last time, so you go first.
Okay. Ringside, man. I mean, it's nice to sit up there in a well-appointed luxury box with all the food and beer and water and sodas, whatever you want, at your disposal. You're sitting there. You got couches, some really plush seating. That's all nice, but you're far away from the action. We went to SummerSlam a few years back. We got to sit in a box. It was great. It was a great time. We got to talk with a lot of great people, enjoy some free food and drinks. Problem was, if you want to get down to like kind of the emotional story beats of the match, you couldn't just sit and watch it. You'd look at the monitor above the ring. Whereas if you're sitting ringside, you get all that. Plus, you get to hear all the banter between the wrestlers, between the crowd and the wrestlers. Maybe hear John Cena calling out some spots. But you can probably hear that in the luxury box. Anyways. Sitting ringside is a very unique experience. I've only got to do it once at an NXT house show here for half the show, and it was awesome. You can't lose going either route. But just even when we were sitting third row at the house show here recently, just hearing the interaction, being a part of the interaction, I don't know. It just feels like you're closer to the magic of what's going on inside the ring when you sit that close. It feels like a more intimate experience. You don't really realize there's thousands of people behind you. You know, if you just focus on the ring, you maybe imagine you're in a high school gym. Maybe, mm-hmm. If you're a really imaginative type person.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the luxury box, you can't. You see the entire lower deck below you. You see the ring quite a distance away. Great experience. Still not the same as ringside.
Who doesn't like to get some binoculars out and try to watch the action in the ring while you can sit back in a chair and have a hot thing? That's fucking ringside. Are you kidding me? Ringside is the best experience in wrestling. I don't even want to go to a show if not in the first three rows now.
True.
I do not want to be there. Ringside is where it's at. It's amazing. It's so great. And then you turn around. You scoff this off. You turn around and you see 15,000 people right there. It's amazing. Oh, man. Look, being a luxury box, it was fantastic. We were invited. It was great. It was the 2K Games thing, and it was
fantastic.
Really cool
of
them to do that. And we got to hang out there. We're talking to Craig from Game Attack. He's mm-hmm. an old friend of ours.
Mm-hmm.
We were eating some hot dogs, and hey, it's cool. I'll look at this match we're having. That's cool. But if you're ringside, everything you said is true times a million. It is fantastic. You get to slap hands with the wrestlers. You get to taunt them. You get to laugh with them. Try to get their attention.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It is the best experience in wrestling. There is nothing better than being ringside. I was the other half of that show at NXT. I got the house show just me by myself. Hilton sold me his ticket because he, I don't know how he got him. I was ringside for a house show like 3 years ago. It was fantastic. Oh, man. It was great. We should use the thumb for this. You should use the selfie of me with Roman Reigns.
Yeah, but with you with the bald head I made.
Oh, don't do that.
I got to find that. I don't know where that picture's at.
You
should
find it. I know.
Oh, I have it somewhere.
Man, we're about to be ringside at Impact.
Yeah, man.
I'm hyped about it.
Yeah, I know.
So good. So much fun.
Next, from Adam Mayhem. Let's see what Adam Mayhem has to say.
Hey, guys. I'm sick, so there's not a whole lot of intro to this. Makes Back Challenge is like the best thing around. So let's make a debate on whether or not intergender matches like the Mixed Match Challenge should become a thing in WWE with like a title belt and all that good stuff and storylines and all that. Go.
God, get some energy,
sick,
man. Get some energy.
Under the weather. Feel better.
Take some medicine. Take some cough syrup or some, you know, Dimetapp or something.
You know what? He didn't have to send in a video question. Because he's dedicated to the show.
He's a professional wrestler. That's not dedication.
Yeah, man. Wrestlers get sick too.
What a mess. Don't come near me.
Get better.
Don't come until you figure this out. Don't come near me.
Get well soon, Adam Mayhem.
What a mess. Anyways. Yeah, man. No, I'd be cool. I'd be cool with it. I think it's fun. It'd be something new in a whole division for intergender wrestling. I think that'd be fantastic. Give them their own belts. It'd be kind of weird to do that before you did a women's tag division. And if you do that and you do it, you know, there's just too much going on. But, you know, that's not my problem. That's their problem. you know, yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I think it's time. Intergender mixed tag match, whatever you want to call it, however they want to approach it. I really like the way they've approached it in the mixed match challenge. I mean, I know there's sort of a debate that I've noticed in wrestling Twitter these days about, you know, intergender wrestling. If, you know, if it's something that everybody's comfortable with or not, I'm kind of on the either or side of things. You know, I mean, I didn't watch the Brian Cage, was it Tessa Blanchard match?
Oh yeah, I didn't watch that either. I heard really good things about it though.
I'd like to watch it. I mean, Candice LeRae made a whole, you know, her entire career was based on intergender.
I mean, Asuka did a bunch of intergender wrestling in Japan too. Yeah.
But then, you know, the flip side is that you watch Asuka versus Minoru Suzuki.
Oh, it gets uncomfortable at moments. Yeah.
It gets uncomfortable at moments, you know? And so, that's a debate to be had, I guess. But, you know, the way they've approached the mixed match challenge, a very limited amount of actual intergender interaction.
Yeah, interaction, sorry, yeah.
I think that's been cool. I think it's been really neat. I think it's something that we haven't seen before. Why not? Try it out. If it sucks, just kill it. There you go.
All right. I agree with you for the most part, but I don't think you necessarily need a whole division dedicated to it. Just do it as necessary. You know, if it works for storylines, do it. If not, don't. I think the charm of the mixed match challenge is just the looseness of the competitors, of the individual talents. The format itself is okay, but just the way it's presented to us feels so refreshing because you feel like you're getting more of the actual person than you otherwise would on Raw or SmackDown. And it seems like everybody's just like across the board is just charming.
I know.
Everybody that works for WWE seems like is charming.
I know.
And it's great. I wish we'd see more of that side of their personalities on Raw and SmackDown.
How great
maybe
would
more
it be,
of that.
How great would it be if they drew that line between Raw and SmackDown? Raw was the scripted show. They do really well with it right now. And what if SmackDown
was the unscripted show?
It would be such a great, like, then when there's talent shifting sides, you get to see a whole new side of them.
I think
that'd
be great.
All of a sudden you see Seth Rollins being completely like just himself, ad-libbing, improving.
Mm-hmm.
Just having a good time. Mm-hmm. And then you can make storylines out of it because people aren't naturally going to be bad guys and heels and stuff. So then you have to find another creative way to make storylines out of
it. No, I like that. I think it'd be good.
Be good, man.
It'd be good.
Something different.
Yes.
And finally, Alex Hernandez has... Oh, Alex Hernandez's care package should be to him by now, I think. It's a Friendo care package. $20, you get a Friendo care package. Comic book and stuff.
Yeah.
Stickers. Anyways, let's see what he has to say.
This print, too.
Right there.
Hey, Steven Larson and friendos. Shout out to my brothers Felix and Daniel, which we met you guys at last year's No Mercy. First time video question. I wanted to ask you guys been loving the commentary of Booker T and Graves and Michael and the Raw shows. And you guys been liking some of the backstage stuff that you guys were able to hang out and talk to all the wrestlers when you guys had your chance to do some interviews. So my question is, if Vince McMahon gave you one of two jobs, which would it be? Would it be with the commentators out and watching the matches, doing commentary? You guys been doing that with your Book It Raw shows, and or backstage, getting to know the wrestlers, get to talk to them, doing interviews. I want to see you guys' spin on whether you guys would enjoy yourselves in backstage with the wrestlers or in the front doing commentary with your favorite commentators. Booker T, Graves, whoever you guys want.
You've got a lot of... Thank you, Alex Hernandez. There's a lot like of nothingness right here in the frame. Like, look at all the nothingness you were having here.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
So I put this here. I'm not.
You like busyness. And I don't.
I like some... I don't want the entire lower third of our video to be just sheer darkness.
No,
man.
I like that.
It's just
sensory deprivation. That's what I prefer.
Anyways.
Of the two positions, give me backstage. Here's the thing. We work. We talk in hour-long spurts. And it exhausts me. I don't have to talk for 3 hours or 2 hours straight. I can handle short interviews backstage, interviewing talents for 2 to 5 minutes at a time. And for the most part of these interviews, I just have to ask one question. They do all the talking. It seems like a pretty plum gig. I would prefer to be a backstage interviewer, someone like Tom Mike.
Yeah.
That seemed like the gig for me. I'll
no
take
way,
that.
Man. So I knew a guy once. I knew a guy once who worked in the NBA, and he did like locker room interviews with the like afterwards.
Yeah,
and it seemed like the most awkward because he worked for a team that wasn't very good, And it came off as one of the most awkward experiences ever. So your team really sucked today. How do you feel about
that? Well, here's the thing is I wouldn't be doing that.
That's what you would have to do.
No.
It's all in character. I get that it's all in character.
They're,
Gallows and Anderson, another rough loss today.
Yeah, we know. We're all performers.
And on top of that, they treat those people like pissants. Like Jericho's always putting them on lists. Gallows and Anderson are always calling Mike Rome a nerd.
That's fine.
They're always forgetting their names.
Won't
they're
be always the first rude. Time called a nerd.
They're always rude. Man, I don't want to be picked on. I'm like, hey, that's rude.
You ever see Michael Cole get picked on? It happens all the time.
Yeah. No, not anymore.
Did you miss when Braun threw him on security?
Because Booker T just pushed him.
That's getting picked on, man.
I'd make sure. Well, that only happened. Yeah, it was the one time in the last 20 years.
Well, and then they'll decide to turn you heel and make you have a match at WrestleMania.
Well, that doesn't happen.
And you get humiliated by John Cena. He pours barbecue sauce all over you.
Let me be on commentary. Nobody seems to have more fun or had more fun. Nobody has more fun than Corey Graves right now. Corey Graves and then Booker T. I swear they just took him apart because they're having too much fun.
It could be.
And they're just goofing too much. Give me that job, man. Are you kidding me?
It's too much talking
get
for me.
Get to sit there with like some legend who's just hilarious. Oh, man, that'd be great. Or get stupid coach and get to pick on him.
It'd be great. It'd be great to watch, but it's just too much talking for me.
I'd love. We needed to get in on that, dude. Like around here, you wouldn't want to do commentary
too much
for
talking.
Like Virgil Flynn, the third production.
That'd be fun to do once, but I don't know if I want to do it all the time.
Well, I'm not going to commit to all the time, but I'll come in. If they can't get AJ Kirsch out there, I'll be like, hey, Steven Larson will do it.
Yeah.
Look at this action, Larson. But I wouldn't want to do it live like he does it. That's too much pressure.
Yeah, he's good at that.
I'd want to just... Oh, he was great. No, he's way better than we could be. I'm just saying, like, you know, we have our little headsets on. Wow, look at this great action today, Larson. What? That's how I would do it. That's why
I'd be like Fandango in a Southpaw Regional.
See, I could be the catamaran.
Lance Ketterman. Yeah, exactly. What was the name? Chet Cheddarfield.
There you go. Oh, my goodness. What a bunch of great action we have today for you. Here at Supreme Pro Wrestling in Sacramento, California.
Glass of whiskey.
Wow, what a great move. What do you think about that, Mr. Larson?
It woke me up for a second.
Who wouldn't want to see that? Anyways, that's it. That's all we got.
That's all we got. Thank you, everybody, for sending your questions.
Mm-hmm. You, too, can be on this show. You, too, can be on this show for a pittance of $20. I think that's a fantastic deal. What do you think, Mr. Larson?
That's how you want to use your money.
See, perfect. Anyways, that's it for my chat. Thanks for watching. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.